You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Today on the On Enquirer podcast, it's that time of year to start talking brackets. And no, Illinois is not in the mix for a one or two or a three seed at this point. Sitting at 18-9, 9-7 in the Big Ten with four regular season games left to go, the Big Ten tournament left to go. But Illinois firmly in the field of 68 as we speak today. Avoid a bad loss against Minnesota on Monday night. That certainly helps. And four more opportunities to add to their resume during the regular season. Of course, the Big Ten tournament as well. So we went to our guy, the Champaign native, the Illinois grad, now the Mahomet native, Brad Evans, Bally Sports bracketologist. We've been talking to him for a long time, whether it's been at Yahoo, wherever he's been, and his bracket big board is one of the best among all bracketologists. Joe Lenardi, Jerry Palm, all these guys that you know of. I go to Brad Evans because he is one of the most accurate in the business, and it's all really, really good stuff. And I learn something new every time I talk to Brad Evans, especially about basketball across the country, but he does give a really good perspective of Illinois, and he breaks down what Illinois' best and worst case scenario for seeding could be, what he thinks of Illinois entering the tournament, who Illinois might want to avoid playing, and who they might want to play. So Brad breaks all of that down, also gives some thoughts nationally about who he likes going into the tournament, what he thinks of the Big Ten as well. So sit back, it's almost March, and that means we need to talk to Brad Evans about his bracket big board. That's coming up next on the Illini Enquirer podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You're ready, Bob.
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, here with Brad Evans from Bally Sports, our go-to bracketologist. You hear from a lot of bracketologists out there. Brad Evans is as good as it gets. So, Brad, let's talk a little bit about this Illinois basketball team. It's nothing but interesting this season. We figured it would be that way with so many new pieces. But I want to start with last night's win over Minnesota because it was significant in that Illinois avoided a bad loss. And they've avoided bad losses all year, but also brought them down in the net. So I always find that interesting that a win like that can bring you down in the net.
Yeah, I mean, it's because Minnesota's the dregs of the keg. I mean, and it's not a good beer either. I can tell you that much. It's, you know, like Natural Light or something like that. That kind of keg that you would, buy off of a campus liquor store for like $40 back in the day. But inflation exists. Unfortunately, it doesn't for Minnesota. as that team is pretty bad. I'm a little bit bitter, quite honestly. I thought Illinois would cover last night, the 14.5, but Battle kept making trays, and I'm like, stop it! Stop doing that! And as a result, Minnesota backdoors a win in that game, but I think the most positive outcome was the fact that RJ Melendez showed up. I mean, he's been largely lousy, you know, really, why sugarcoat it, put anyway else for much of the season, and especially that last game against Indiana, so many bunnies and chip shots that he missed, and then he gets a double-double for the first time in his career, a tremendous stride, and I credit Underwood for still starting him and putting faith behind him to give him one more shot and say, hey, this is a get-right spot for you against, you know, the worst team in the Big Ten, and he delivered. So I thought that was a real positive development in that game. But, yeah, I mean, nobody really knows what goes into the net. I don't know what the ingredients are. I don't know exactly what the recipe is. Illinois dropped a little bit, but they didn't singly budge at all on my bracket big board. I still have them as a 7 seed overall right now.
So, Brad, finish this sentence. The state of Illinois' NCAA tournament resume is blank.
The state of Illinois' NCAA tournament resume is Northwestern and everybody else. if you want to encompass all in the state of Illinois, I think that makes a ton of sense. I would say Illinois' resume in general, if we want to keep it to the orange and blue, is mediocre. Is the best way I think that I would describe it. This is a team that, you know, you got the three quarter one wins, and it's been fluctuating based on where Wisconsin lies in the net. And right now they're outside of the top 75, so that doesn't count as a quarter one win from earlier this season. But, you know, they have a real shot here in short order against Iowa, and we all need to be rooting for the Badgers here in Shampoo Urbana. If you believe that Illinois is going to move up in my bracket big board projection, or really the bracket matrix's aggregation overall. So hopefully Wisconsin will get the job done there, get back in the net top 75, and Illinois can acquire that additional Q1 win. But you got no bad losses. The strength of schedule is not an eyesore by any stretch of the imagination. Number 36 overall and number 108 in the non-conference. And that's a stride compared to a lot of teams out there. 5-7, ho-hum in road neutral games. And again, no quarter three or quarter four L's. What I would tell Illini Nation is this. Don't be fixated on the net. The net itself as an isolated number is like the old RPI.
Yeah.
And what the selection committees have always said is it's a sorting tool. You know, when they're scrubbing and vetting and setting the field, and those team cards are sliding across their fancy computer screens, and they have all the intimate details there, and all these ADs have no idea, you know, what certain conferences are in the country right now, or really what teams are. They see that team for the first time and like, oh, I don't care about the strengths or weaknesses by the eye test. I care about the numerics. And they're going to see Illinois again slide across that screen. They're going to say, okay, they're not wowing me. This is definitely a tournament team, just not one that's going to be placed on a high seed line. So, again, don't worry about the net by itself. Let's continue to get some quarter one victories. Got a couple more opportunities left. Have a decent showing in the Big Ten tournament. And I think ceiling for the Illini is probably a 5. If the right dominoes fall out ahead of them, maybe they could be the last number 4 seed in a best case scenario.
What about worst case, Brad?
Worst case scenario, so looking at the remaining schedule, Northwestern, it's going to be an absolute battle here at the State Farm Center at Ohio State. God, if you lose Ohio State, just can we yeah, just shut it down. That's as bad as Clemson losing to Louisville the other night. I'm dead serious. It's on that plane. You know, I guess the team's in red. I guess it's also a bad time for Wisconsin when you think about it. But, yeah, it's no bueno if that were to happen. You lose to Michigan, you lose at Purdue, which I think is a foregone conclusion. So you go over there and you get bounced early in the tournament. Illinois probably goes to a number 10 seed, honestly. But you want to be on that 7-10 line because, Jeremy, we have seen 2 seeds exit the tournament. I think 14 of the last like 16 or 17 dances at least one number two seed has exited before the second weekend commences. So whether it's in the first round, which is rare, or if it's in the next round, the round of 32, you know, sevens and tens have had a lot of success traditionally against some of these number two seeds.
How much are those two non-conference wins against UCLA and Texas? Like, how much does that matter for Illinois right now?
It's monumental. It's massive. It is rather significant, and I may be underselling it, quite honestly, because you're in neutral court environments, and you're beating a couple of teams right now that I have on the two line. I think UCLA is a viable national title contender. They have all the goods. I felt that since the very beginning, and I know the Pac-12 is nothing really to write home about, but that is a fantastic basketball team, and Mick Cronin, oh, woe is me with him all the time. Everybody's out to get the Pac-12. Everybody's out to get UCLA right now because they're going to the Big Ten. Shut up, Mick, and just focus on coaching basketball. Meanwhile, if you look at Texas, right now I have them number five overall, so the highest number two seed. You know, they got 9 quarter one wins, and one of those, of course, did not come against the University of Illinois. Those are going to weigh enormously in the selection committee room because it's all about full body of work. I know a lot of people are sick of hearing it, but that's what the committee always preaches, full body work. It's not, what have you done for me lately? You know, cue the Janet Jackson in the background and work those shoulders. You got to focus on the entirety of what you have done up to that moment on the season, all about who you played and who you beat. And those are two boxes, giant ones, that Illinois has checked.
I'm so locked in on Big Ten basketball, which maybe not a great thing, Brad, for my basketball perspective. So what do you think of this Illinois team? You watch so much basketball. Like, what do you think of this team as you watch the rest of the country? Like, how's it stack up?
Well, I tell you what. If we can turn back the clock and get that team that beat Texas, that beat UCLA, when Illinois brings its ultimate A game, and we've seen it here and there in like halves of play throughout the entire Big Ten season, they can beat anybody in the country. They can beat Alabama. I think they can beat Kansas. They can beat a Houston team that is so reliant on turnovers. You know, it has to be a perfect style of play for Illinois really to fit into that. And they got to really execute on both ends, especially from outside, which has been wildly erratic this season. But when Illinois is on, they can beat anyone in the country. So, you know, I'm not saying that with any ounce of orange and blue pumping through my veins right now. Oh, maybe slightly. But still, I think Illinois, and you'll ask any pundit that's out there, any expert in the business, they'll tell you the same thing. Went on. They can hang and upend any team nationally. I'm going to stick to that, and I think a lot of people are backing me on that, too.
Do you like anybody in the Big Ten in March?
No, I really don't, to be honest with you. I mean, Illinois, to a certain extent, you know, if you could say, hey, Brad, I'm going to give you Illinois' 3 best games of the season, could they make it out of their region? Could they make it into the second week and maybe make it to an Elite Eight or knock at the door of a Final Four? I think that is entirely on the table for this team. But I look at the rest of the league. The one team that honestly really intrigues me, and I cannot believe I'm saying this, I mean, it's almost like a pipe dream what is going on right now in Evanston. Mm-hmm. But that Northwestern team is doing stunning things. I mean, we've seen it repeatedly here over the last month. They really beat you up defensively. They score at will at times inside. They can splash threes, and they got excellent guard play, of course, spearheaded by Boo Booey. I wouldn't sleep on the Wildcats. I know they've never won an NCAA tournament game, but maybe this is the year. This is the year. Yes, I'm a Cubs fan. That they could potentially win not only one game, they could win 3 games or 2 and make it to the second weekend. So that's a team I wouldn't sleep on. And I know people are like, well, what about the headline? You're burying the lead here in Purdue. Yeah. I watched Purdue, I don't know, maybe 15 times so far this season and scouted them. I look at all the advanced analytics and numerics out there, whether it's Torvik, whether it's KenPom, whether it's Haslametrics. I geek out on this stuff. And I can tell you from what I've seen with Purdue is it's a very simple formula to beat them. You double-team the living hell out of Zach Edey, And even when you do that, he's still going to get 25 and 15. You just can't let the perimeter players beat you from outside, whether it's Gillis, whether it's Lawyer, whether it's Newman, any of those guys. If they're draining, even I would say 35% roughly of the three-point attempts, you're going to lose. But chances are that's not going to happen. And it's certainly not going to happen over a six-game stretch for the Boilermakers. I don't think they make it to even the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. However, giant asterisk, I got to see the draw first.
That's right. And I think Illinois fans have learned that draw matters. That's why, for me, with this Illinois team, Brad, I'm just kind of like, give me to March 12th, tell me who they're playing, and then I'll give my big take on this. And they're probably due at some point for a little bracket help, because they haven't gotten that the last 2 years.
No, they certainly haven't. And yeah, that Loyola Chicago draw, I remember a couple of years ago, was just like, really? I mean, I was watching the Selection Sunday show, and I said, in the back of my mind, you know, for me, it's like the greatest day ever, because it is a great homework check.
Yeah.
You know, you just turned in your test. The teacher's got the red pen, and you're seeing it live in real time. And you're just like, ooh, I hope I get an A. So, you know, that emotion just washes over my body. But at the same time, I am a diehard Illinois fan, and I always try to bury my objectivity as much as I can in that bias. But in that moment, I don't care. I don't give a crap. Like, I want Illinois to have the best draw possible. And as a one seed, I just said to myself, I don't want to see Loyola Chicago. Don't give us Loyola Chicago, please, in an 8-9 matchup. And what happened? Exactly. And I'm like, oh, we're screwed. And what happened? We were screwed.
Yeah. And Houston might have been worse as a 5 seed.
Oh, yeah. Houston's Houston's bad for everybody, because they're the way I describe the Cougars, and I understand, you know, the history there with Kelvin Sampson, all the phone calls and all that nonsense back in the day.
Seems
which
trivial
matter
now.
In this. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore in the state of NIL. It's so ridiculous. But, you know, Illinois fans were all going to be like, oh, you're cheated! Throw the book at him! Get him out of here! Yeah, we're all going to say that. But Sampson has had a remarkable rebirth in Houston. And the best way to describe that team, they are a relentless zombie horde. And they're not like the slow zombies from The Walking Dead. They're like the Last of Us creatures. And they just get after you, man. In the half court, in the full court, and they don't stop. They don't quit. It's ridiculous how difficult a matchup Houston is, just on their style of play and how they are constantly on the attack. They love to eat flesh. I can tell you that right now. And they're going to do so in the NCAA tournament.
Love it as always. Brad Evans, Bally Sports here, breaking down his bracket big board. So what is the issue with the Big Ten? Is it talent here? Is it length, athleticism? What is it, Brad?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a mixture of all those, right? I mean, you could say the same thing. What's wrong with the ACC? Yeah. Why are they so down? I mean, it's cyclical in nature oftentimes, and how, you know, conferences underperform and overperform. Now, it's been since 2000, since we crowned a national champion out of the Big Ten, which seems almost unfathomable. But, you know, there was a lot of factors that go into it. I really can't put my finger on it. I could tell you that, you know, playing in a rough and tumble league, you bludgeon each other. It's cannibalization at its finest during the regular season. And guys are just tired. They're just exhausted in the NCAA tournament. And then you see a different style of play often compared to Big Ten teams in the NCAA tournament with other matchups. And that's a bit of a shock to some of these squads who had been grinding, who had been, you know, scheming for a Big Ten opponent that plays a certain way, which is primarily in the half-court setting. And, of course, the NCAA tournament, you're going to get variety. And for the league, unfortunately, not the spice of life.
So, Brad, Illinois is going to be a 6 through an 11, probably, here, if we're doing these big parameters. So what teams would you want to avoid? If you're an Illinois fan on Selection Sunday, is there a certain matchup you'd like to avoid, whether it's first or second round?
Yeah, I mean, completely. So you look at the 7-10 matchup, and right now I have projected for Illinois as their opening round opponent, the Pittsburgh Panthers. And I would love that matchup as an Illini fan. I know Pitt's got pretty strong guard play, but they have been rather erratic defensively. And again, coming from the ho-hum ACC, I would think the rigors of the Big Ten would prepare Illinois very well in that first round. And really all the number 10 seeds outside of I think West Virginia, who got a key victory last night against Oklahoma State, and I just elevated it up from 11 to a 10. I would love to see Nevada out of the Mountain West and Florida Atlantic, one of those mid-major upstarts at a Conference USA. I think Illinois would have no trouble against Nevada, Pittsburgh, or Florida Atlantic if the NCAA tournaments are today, and that was one of their matches. West Virginia and that style of play just doesn't really benefit Illinois in any way, shape, or form because they pressure you constantly, and the turnovers could mount. And if the turnovers start to pile up against WVU, they feast in transition off of that. They're generally a lousy shooting team. That's why West Virginia has to play a certain style. And that's why, you know, Huggy Pear has implemented that. And they've had a tremendous amount of success at times in transition because of the turnovers and easy buckets they have gotten out of it. So, you know, those are some matchups there that I would definitely, you know, love to see outside of West Virginia for Illinois. And then you think about, okay, let's say they're a number two seed that's out there that Illinois could have some success against. Well, Texas obviously is one of them because they already beat them. They could do that second time around. UCLA, oh, what a quinky dink. Another team they played and could potentially beat, although I think it'd be very difficult the second time around. And I also honestly like either of the matchups if Illinois were to win their first round game against Baylor or Arizona. You know, Arizona team that's starting to defend a little bit better, but they have been inconsistent in that capacity for much of the season. Tubulis would be a major handful inside. But hopefully Dane Danger could really stand his ground and defend him. And the guard play for Arizona has been good at facilitation, but shooting the three, not so much. They're netting right around 30% of their shots in Pac-12 action. And they look at the Baylor Bears. Baylor is wet offensively. Yeah. They are dripping. They are drenched. No question about that with Flagler, and you got Sean Wachachua back now. They can really fill up the cup, but, man, they're bad defensively. In road-neutral games this season, Jeremy, they are 338 in effective field goal percentage defense in all of college basketball. So if you could somewhat neutralize Baylor on the defensive end, they're just going to roll out the red carpet for you on their defensive end, and that's a great matchup for Illinois. So, again, Illini fans – people blast me on social media constantly. Why do you have Illinois as a 7 seed, you moron? Look at their resume. They should be like a 6. They should be a 5. No! We want a 7 seed! And if we start losing, we want a 10 seed because the odds of Illinois tasting sweetness this season amplify when facing a 2 and not a 1.
All right, Brad. Love it. Who's that voice, by the way? Who's that based on? The Joe Schmo fan. I love it.
Yeah, the little demon in my head, I think, Warner. I have no clue where that came from.
Who do you like, Brad? I mean, college basketball, maybe we say this all the time, it does feel like there's more parity. Like, there's not as many dominant teams. I don't think we're just making that up when we say that. So who do you like this year?
My dark horse right now, and at BetMGM, wager now. We're in the great state of Illinois. You could totally do that. Creighton. At 30-1 to win the whole shebang. That is a team, their most glaring weakness, bar none, is depth. But their starting five is tremendous. And you got a 7-footer, Ryan Kalkbrenner, who is a matchup problem for just about anybody that's out there. They got outstanding guard play in Nimhard and Alexander. Baylor Shireman is an arc assassin, former fight jackrabbit of South Dakota State. He's been unbelievable this season. And I know I had that six-game skid about mid-year, and hell, they even lost to Nebraska, but who isn't losing to Nebraska right now? It's kind of crazy. That's why they're kind of a dark horse in the Big Ten tournament. But you look at Creighton. They did not have Ryan Kalkbrenner for a stretch because he was out with mono. They had a great showing in Maui, and they seemed to have gotten their legs back. We'll see what they do against Marquette, a game that's being played tonight in the Big East. But a team that, whether or not they take the outright title in the Big East, it doesn't matter to me. They're top 20 in the country in offensive and defensive efficiency, one of five teams to rank in the top 20 in both those categories. And as we've seen historically, that is usually a telltale sign of a team having a tremendous amount of success in the NCAA tournament. So Creighton, 30-1 as my dark horse pick.
All right, Brad, before I let you go, we got to give some people advice when they're filling out their brackets. So how do you go about finding your Cinderella, the surprise team in the Sweet 16? How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, honestly, Werner, I focus on one thing on KenPom.com, or you know, if you don't want to pay the $20 annually, you can go to BartTorvik.com and get the same information there. It's all about offensive efficiency and effective field goal percentage offense. A lot of these mid-major schools excel in the offensive categories, or they excel in the defensive categories. Defense, yeah, you're always going to remain in the game, but offensively, I think in a single elimination format, you could spring an upset if you're playing your best ball. So, you know, a team like Colgate, or if Cornell out of the Ivy League were to make it, man, they can score at will. They don't guard you at all.
Yeah.
But they could go out and hang 75 on a meek mid-seeded team on, you know, 4, 5, 6 line and spring the upset, or maybe a little bit higher on the threes or potentially the twos. So I would zero in, again, on adjusted offensive efficiency, effective field goal percentage offense as a key category. So when filling out your bracket, just don't take that team. They do spring the upset into another round, onto another line.
Yeah, so and St. Peter's, you can't pick that team because that's impossible to do.
Well, I was on St. Peter's last year in the betting market. Yeah, I was. I wrote about it in a column on Bally Sports as a dark horse to win like one game, maybe, as a 15. And it was the opposite was true with them because they defended their tails off. They were so good in the half-court setting, and it was all about the right draw. They ended up getting the right draw. They match up really well in the opening round, and you know, the rest is history. So that's kind of the rare occurrence where defense was the name of the game that springboarded them to the, you know, next round or two, not the offense. But generally speaking, offense is a major sign of a team at the mid-major level having success in the NCAA tournament, at least for our round.
See, that's why we talk with Brad Evans, not only because he's an Illinois guy, Champaign-Urbana kind of guy. We get him because he's really good.
Muhammad! I'm in here, Muhammad, Illinois kind of guy.
Brad Evans, what do you got coming up? How can people find you? Where can they read your stuff?
Oh, goodness gracious. I'm a busy man this time of year, and I love every single second of it. But Hawaii is calling my name here, short order, Werner, especially the Mai Tais at the Royal Hawaiian on Waikiki Beach. If you've never had those at Oahu, do yourself a favor. They invented the drink. It is heavenly, especially after watching the Bears lose a few years ago in the playoffs on a double doink. True story. Hmm. So you can find me on Twitter at Noisy Huevos. Always open, always committing all kinds of tweets, maybe crimes as well on that platform. You can find me as well at Bally Sports, the Bracket Big Board. I'm updating multiple times every single day now through Selection Sunday. And yes, I'm the most accurate macro site bracketologist in the business. Far better than Joe Lenardi. Far better than Jerry Palm. It's not even remotely close. DeCourcy as well. They all can suck it, although they're nice guys.
Did you just do the DX? Did you just do the DX? I love it.
Yeah, I did exactly that. And then Live on the Line, my sports betting show, another area. I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just a dude who loves to bet. I do all the legwork and the research. My colleagues, Danny Kleppinger, Cameron Smith, who played at Southern Illinois University back in the day on that Sweet 16 team. Yeah. Yes, and he hates Kansas as much as we do because he lost to that squad in the tournament that year. We do that every single day, practically, except for Saturdays, the only day off, across the Bally Sports RSNs and on Stadium. You can stream the show for free at watchstadium.com/live. Watchstadium.com/live. May make some appearances here with Jeff Goodman and Doug Gottlieb, old friends of mine as well. So chances are you're going to get sick of hearing me and seeing me. I'm everywhere this time of year.
One of the busiest guys in sports media. Thanks for making time for us, Brad Evans. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for helping us bowl guys That's out. Right. I'm going to get there sooner or later.
Great stuff as always from Brad Evans. Again, check him out on Twitter at Noisy Huevos. Updates his bracket big board at Bally Sports every night. You can see him at Stadium, and he's everywhere, man. But definitely interact with him at Noisy Huevos. He's definitely a fun Twitter follow. All right, that'll do it for us on the Illini Inquirer podcast. This time, of course, we'll be back later in the week as Illinois takes on Northwestern. I'm going to, at some point in the next 2 weeks, get Trevor Valise from Field of 68. Our guy's doing big things. You see the video Jeff Goodman put out from Purdue with him and Dowster? Our guy Trevor Valise did that. He's a star. Also, Isaac Trotter, bring him on. He is doing great work just from a national perspective in college basketball. So to see those two who worked at Illini Inquirer just do great big things and to see their careers just blossom and skyrocket has been awesome to watch. So we're going to bring them back on, though, and talk about the Big Ten. So going into the last week as we kind of figure out where everyone's going to be in the standings in the Big Ten tournament, and, of course, going to the NCAA tournament, I'll get those guys back on within the next 2 weeks. Maybe I should do it before the Big Ten tournament, but it might be fun in the last week of the regular season as well. So I'll figure that out. I'm talking it out right here with you guys. So I'll figure that out here in the next week or so. But appreciate listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Check us out on YouTube. Subscribe to us. Like us. We appreciate that. We always do our live post-game podcast. Join us for some of those. It's always a lot of fun, and you can interact with us during that. And, of course, give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a rating and review if you can. Every five-star rating really, really helps us. So we appreciate your support in doing that. And, of course, appreciate all the support of our VIP members. And if you aren't a VIP member, it's always a great time to sign up now. $1 for your first month of VIP access. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. And we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing. I feel
it in my soul. I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.